Blog Talk Radio.
Wins.
Losses.
Shutouts.
Shootouts.
Forehand.
Five hole.
It's time for your recap of Pittsburgh Penguins hockey.
The most important interviews, best information, hottest news, and no topic is off limits.
Radio PI. Now on the Radio PI Podcast Network.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to take number three of the Penguins Capitals previews here on Radio PI and the Radio PI Podcast Network. We are brought to you by Dr. Brent Shaler of Shaler Chiropractic, as well as God knows what else, man. Let's just get the show on the road. Mike, you're here. Hi, Mike. We're dialing Courtney now.
I do see Courtney finally there. Yes, this is my God. He's finally with you. It's
hello.
Our third attempt and
hello.
My God, I've now heard Courtney's voice.
Hello.
Wow.
Hello.
This is different.
Hi.
Yes.
Hey, Courtney, it's Nick, and my co-host Mike Ostey is here, and I swear
Hi.
This is not how all podcasts are, so do not let us taint you by any means necessary.
It's because you're Penguins fans.
To be honest with you, Courtney, and I said this in the audio that may go into the abyss, which I actually would like to keep just for humor purposes, but I thought that potentially we saw you on the soundboard, we saw the production was there, we were speaking to you, we were texting, we were tweeting, everything was fine. I thought this might have been a Washington Capitals troll job. I thought this might have been where you're going to connect and you're going to say you're there, you're going to promote it, but then you're actually not going to speak in like this heel turn of sorts. There was a good like 40% of me that was thinking that was happening.
Well,
yeah,
I was thinking that was you. I thought you were trolling it, so there you go.
Okay.
But you were sabotaging the airwaves.
It was some karmic imbalance where, like, these guys cannot talk to each other. It's just not possible.
But
no.
This is my first podcast experience, so.
Hell, there you go. You know, it's
so
it's
going
all up
poorly
here.
So far, so now
yes,
it's all brighter sights from here.
Absolutely.
All uphill from here, I promise.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, let's take a moment to plug you, unless you'd like to plug yourself first.
Sure. No, go ahead.
All right. She is Courtney. Go
no
ahead.
Pressure.
Okay,
no,
yes.
No pressure.
None, yeah, you know. It's different, you know, we've met before, so it's different than like, oh, it's just some faceless entity. Like, this is a person I know. Now I have to really step up my game and promote this person well. Crap.
Right.
She is Courtney Loughlin, works for CSN North Atlantic. She does essentially a social media beat, and I don't mean to deride it, but you interact with fans before, middle, and after the game. You get their tweets, you see what they say, and you pass it along during the intermission reports and everything like that. And you're a hockey player yourself. You played pretty well. You played better than I did. You played at SUNY Potsdam up there. And you did some coaching on the side, too. So you've got a nice wide range of hockey experience. And, oh, yeah, your dad played in the NHL or something like that.
Something like that. Pretty good. I gave you a B+.
Thank you. Anything else you'd like to add to that? Just go ahead and boost your resume. Because, you know, us Pittsburgh people, it's, you know, we're sticking to root sports. We're not really watching, you know, CSN North Atlantic to get more about you.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's pretty much it. I just, it's fun. I get to have a lot of fun interacting with the fans on Twitter, and it's been, playoffs now, so it's been a crazy ride, but that's pretty much it. You nailed it.
All
right. So you
All
found
right,
a way, Courtney, to have a father that played in the NHL and be able to still brag at the Thanksgiving dinner table. He's not going to be able to dominate the conversation. You can say, my resume is with you. Don't you know, shut up.
Like pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean I obviously am very fond of who I am and my dad, but I'm also trying to kind of pave my way, kind of as
right.
my own personality, and so no, but I mean, I can't knock who he is, and I've had a lot of fun, doing some new shows with him on CSN. We're doing one tomorrow after the post game show where we get to, again, it's a highly interactive show on CSN where we get to kind of banter with fans and talk with one another, but it's fun. It's been fun. I've obviously had a very good coach, not only growing up playing hockey, but with my dad too, to teach me kind of the ranks of reporting and the cap. So it's been fun.
All right, so we'll give you the respect and give you Courtney Loughlin of CSN Mid-Atlantic rather than being Craig Loughlin's daughter.
That's all right.
sure you get that everywhere else, but you know, we're different here. You know, we're professionals. We like to do it differently.
You sabotage podcast airwaves.
That's right. That's
right.
What we do.
We sabotage the show so we look like fools. That really benefits ourselves. Right. Yes. I'm almost tempted, Nick. I feel like the audio that we recorded for about 40 minutes where we failed trying to connect with Courtney, or at least get Courtney on the air, about 7 times, and we basically had a little kind of crappy version of a preview show where we also discussed our personal lives. I'd like to almost put that on the website. I feel like that might be entertaining in and of itself. Other than that, so I have so much recording and audio of technical issues, whether it be from college radio, professionally in radio, TV, and even the podcast world, that I think that would be more entertaining on the resume tape than even what I've actually done that actually has worked. So.
Yeah, well, I don't think a lot of people realize how much goes into all these type of shows. The back work, it's insane. I mean, I didn't know half of that when I started getting to television. I didn't know half the stuff that actually went on. It's
well, and this is. It's kind of unique here in that, you know, I worked for the Stingrays. Now I do like freelance stuff behind the scenes, filming and audio and replay for ESPN and streams like that. You do what you do with the TV broadcast behind the scenes, doing the social media. And Mike does not only radio shows, but he does some TV work as well. So we all have that real idea of, you know, this isn't just show up and look pretty and do your job. This is a lot behind this.
It is, and there's so much that you got to know and research, and it's really knowing the teams inside and out and the players. And I think, you know, I get that all the time, even with my dad, you know, people will try calling him on game days. And they're like, well, he's not, like, what is he doing at noon? And it's like, well, no, like, he's sitting down writing notes, and, I mean, he's the king of notes. I don't know if you've seen, I'm sure there's some pictures floating around there, but, I mean, you study. And in order to do this kind of stuff, you really got to study, and you got to do a lot of reading and a lot of prep. And it's not. I wish it was as easy as just show up, smile, look good, but that's not it.
Yeah,
it
shouldn't have been looking pretty as easy part for all of us, right? Maybe not Nick, but at least for Courtney and I.
Right, of course. That's the easy part.
It's difficult for Nick, but you know, the
first
Jack.
You pick on me for being old. First you tease me for being old. Now you say I'm ugly. I don't even know why.
Well,
I do
see,
this.
The fans don't know that because unfortunately my jokes that were hammering home how Nick is older than us got on the abyss of the audio that didn't actually succeed. So
that was merely the lovely music that you were listening to, Courtney. So.
It was like elevator music. I was like, where am I?
I
like,
heard
I could,
well, at
like,
least we're,
some, like,
I mean, it's better than nothing. You know, we could try to play some hip-hop for you
like
if you'd
hardcore,
rather than the older music. We've got
like
Biggie
some,
here on the board.
Like AC/DC, some hardcore rock, or like some country.
We,
I don't know. So that was, I could have
We've got some
better,
I mean,
but.
Andrew WK and some Biggie here for you, but that's about it.
I also have this. You said you'd want some rock. Can you name that tune, Courtney?
No.
Okay. Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, well, that's like hardcore rock.
I mean, I worked in radio for 5 years, like music radio, and I couldn't have told you that was. So, you know, yeah.
Well, I didn't know how to play more than a few seconds. I'm trying to, we're not really DJing here, even though that's what we did in the last piece of work. We didn't actually get connected with Courtney. We could also blast this for you.
Courtney Love is playing that tune.
All I know that it's in the movie 10 Things I Hate About You when Julia Stiles is dancing on a table and hits her head.
Julia Stiles danced well to Biggie, so notorious. Hypnotized.
That's
name
that's
that
all I
that
know.
Dancer.
My one-time coworker, Julia Stiles, I was in a movie with her back in the early.
Oh,
back
you
in
name
the...
drop right now, Nick. Does that just happen? I was in a movie with her.
She wasn't even the biggest star of that movie, man. It was Josh Hartnett, and it was Mekhi Phifer and Martin Sheen. You know.
Okay. And Nick Cage.
You know. I'm a man
real
of...
Small right down the bottom.
Yeah, the movie O, it's called.
Hey, that's a great movie.
Yeah, you can see like a 13-year-old me in one of the basketball scenes in the background waving a sign. So.
Okay. Is that...
Well,
are
Nick,
you for real?
Since we...
I'm just serious. I'm being 100% serious, yeah.
So are you on IMDb?
I am not, although I've been doing a lot of extra work that I should be. I told you, we'd go off on tangents other than Penguins cap. So, in fact,
okay. Well, Nick, do you actually want to get into this now? We have Courtney. We don't know how much longer we're going to have Courtney. We were joking that we were taking Courtney. So, Courtney, we're taking you on a ride to preview the series.
Yeah, no, let's go ahead and go into it. Yeah, it's just because I've got an eclectic background. I could go on for a while. So,
all right.
Awkward silence.
All right.
Let's
well,
go.
Then I will. I will get this underway. Courtney, you've obviously been around the Capitals for a while, whether it be father playing for the team, now covering the team. You know this team inside and out. Is there, and I talked with somebody else, a colleague of mine on a radio show I do, where we kind of disagreed, where he was trying to connect this series from Washington Capital perspective to the 2009 so postseason series, also even 1996 with Peter Nedved's game-winning goal and all those overtime,
mm-hmm.
and the history between these two franchises and how the Capitals haven't been able to even get to a conference final with Ovechkin but are trying to get over the hump and using the Penguins, whereas if they would beat the Penguins to get there, they would beat the Penguins to get into a conference final, that would almost be a bigger deal. Do you get the sense from being around the fans, being around the team, knowing the history and knowing this team so well, that facing the Penguins, and if this Capital team could beat the Penguins to get Ovechkin in his first conference final, would that be a bigger deal than if they beat anybody else? Or is it just, we want to win, the Penguins are in our road, we got to beat them, they're good, but we feel we're better, and that's it?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with your latter idea that I just think that the Caps just have a mentality that, you know, we've heard it all season long, Stanley Cup or bust. And so I think that the Philadelphia Flyers were the first challenge for the Capitals and kind of went a little longer, I think, than they had expected. But I think that was, you know, I kind of look at that as maybe that was something that they needed. They needed to fight that through that adversity. And now you have the Pittsburgh Penguins. And to me, I think it's just another team. I think the fans obviously see it as, you know, oh, it's the Penguins, and, you know, mm-hmm. they don't have a very good history with the Penguins in playoff series. But, I mean, you know, even, you know, Trotz has even said, even it's more than the Penguins, it's more than Ovechkin and Crosby. And I think even from the players' mentality that it's just, well, it's the Penguins, and so we're up to the next challenge. I think the Caps have been trying to fight this in general, this history thing, and kind of face it head on throughout the entire playoffs. And so, I don't know. I don't think history or the Penguins really matter. I think the Caps are just looking at it as another challenge, and it happens to be the Pittsburgh Penguins, and it could have been the New York Rangers, and that obviously would have had its own set of challenges for the Caps. But I think it's just the next team in line, and whoever's up to the plate, it's the next challenge for them.
Thank you.
Looking at you guys,
because that was the stance I took, and everyone disagreed with me. Thank you, Courtney.
Really?
I will see them to you. Absolutely. Yes,
really?
I was in an argument for several minutes on our show.
So they
said
the Penguins, it was just, what were they saying?
Well, the argument with my co-host was that he actually has spent a lot of time down in D.C. and has lived in D.C., and it was just that he was trying to take the historical context to it.
Mm-hmm.
He felt it'd be
yeah.
a bigger deal to eliminate the Penguins because of the Ovechkin-Crosby rivalry, because of Peter Nedved. And I was coming from the notion of there's not one Capital player that's worrying about Peter Nedved's goal in overtime game. I mean, there's probably Capital players who don't even know who Peter Nedved is.
Yeah,
right.
Looking at this roster, no. Some of them might not have even been born around then. So
they might not have, yeah. I mean, that might be a fan perspective, depending on what I was trying to
yeah.
tell you.
And I think,
but I can't imagine the players, the coaches, anyone in media is worrying about the Penguins in terms of – they only had one postseason series with Crosby and Ovechkin. If Crosby had beaten Ovechkin three or four times in a playoff series, no matter – which team they felt was better and fair or unfair, that might be different. But they faced
right.
once in a playoff series. Yeah, the Capitals haven't had the team success the Penguins had before, but the Penguins faced the Red Wings in two cup finals. They've had more postseason series against the Red Wings
mm-hmm.
for Crosby, and they weren't even in the same conference most of the
mm-hmm.
time he's been in the league. So, but I'm glad you agree with
that.
Not many people do.
Yeah, and I just think, too, like, hey, you know, like, nothing's going to knock the Penguins-Caps series. I mean, the Caps have played the Penguins the most in their franchise history of any team, just in general. And so, obviously, it's going to be a huge rivalry, and I think it's great for the media. I think it's great for the fans, and you have Ovechkin and Crosby, but I think the series is bigger than that. And you'll even hear, you know, Trott say, the series is bigger than Ovechkin and Crosby, and it's kind of it's disrespectful to say that the series is only about those two players, because look at the entire team on both aspects. Pittsburgh, the hottest team in the NHL right now, look at who has helped them get to where they are. And same thing with the Caps. And so I think it's a much bigger series than just Pittsburgh and Crosby. I think it's great for the media. I think it's great for the fans. I think it's great for the sport. But it's bigger than that, in my opinion.
And that's a great point. And I saw a comment from Trotz the other day, too, precisely what you said, how it's not fair to just call it Crosby and Ovechkin, because you look on both sides of this roster with the star power that each one brings, and then you look at – you got the President's Trophy winning team against the team that was easily the hottest team going down the stretch in the NHL. And it's easy to go ahead and say, all right, this one's already the Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah, Crosby and Ovechkin, who have really found themselves again after a bit of a lull in their career, are the headliners.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, you look at the star power and the depth behind those guys. It's right off the Phil Kessels and the Nicholas Backstroms and the Evgeny Malkins and the Braden Holtbys, fresh off his Vezina nomination. It's really short-sighted.
Yeah, and I just, you know what, I think that both of these teams are unbelievable at making teams. And this is kind of going to how I think the series is going to pan out. But both of these teams are so offensive-minded. And I think that it's going to come down to, in my opinion, the team that makes the least mistakes. Both of these teams are so lethal at capitalizing on other teams making mistakes that I think that it's going to come down to who makes the least mistakes in the game, because you can't afford to cough the puck up in the middle on Pittsburgh, because they're just going to odd man rush you and attack the net once you get in their zone and move the puck east to west. And I just feel like that's dangerous for the Caps. And then you get, let's say the Penguins take a penalty, and now you have both teams have the number one power plays, are pretty up there power plays, but I just think that it's going to come to the team that makes the least mistakes, because both teams are so good at capitalizing on when other teams make the mistake. And that Philadelphia got in trouble with that. Rangers got in trouble with that. And I think that's just going to be something that we're going to have to look for, and that's going to be a key to the series.
Well, when you have two teams that feel they're evenly matched, when they both have superstars and they're both playing well and you're in a postseason series, you've got to be on top of your game, and it really could be the team that capitalizes the most on mistakes and even some lucky bounces to help a team
mm-hmm.
win a series. But Courtney, keeping the same train of thought in the conversation, which one of these two teams, and the Capitals won the President's Trophy, but the Penguins were having the most success the last few months of the season and had an easier go of it in the first round, so it's kind of an argument on which team is favored, but I'm not going to ask you that simplified question. What I'm going to ask, which one of these two teams can afford to have Crosby or Ovechkin, the two best in the world of an era, not be at their best in a series? Meaning, who's more valuable and necessary for their team to play well for that team to win the series, if you know what I'm asking?
Kind of. I'm not sure I really
understand. If Crosby or Ovechkin, if one of the two of them has a bad series,
yeah,
which team will be affected more, and which one, if I told you going into the series, hypothetically, Crosby or Ovechkin is just going to suck this series, which would you say is going to be a more dire scenario? If I tell you Ovechkin is going to be awful, can that team pick him up more than, say, the Penguins could if Crosby wasn't at his best? Which one of those two players is more necessary to be at their best for their team to win this series?
Well, I think tough question. Do I have to answer?
Well, I
want to
ask tough questions. Everybody can ask
No.
Not my first rodeo over here.
You put me on the spot here. I don't know how to answer. No, what I think, maybe I'll do a backdoor answer. Pittsburgh definitely has better depth. I'm looking at points right now. You've got the Caps top line has six head in the first round. 16 points for both Caps and Penguins first line. Caps and Penguins second line. Caps second line produced 3 points. Pens produced 8. Caps third line produced 7 points. Penguins produced 12. Caps fourth line produced 2. Penguins 9. So based on that, the Penguins have produced more offense. And even if you were to take out, the first two lines are even. So Crosby and Ovechkin are even there. And so if you take those two players out, I mean, if you look at something as simple as that, the Caps have to be better in depth. You need players like Williams, Burakovsky, Kuznetsov to produce more. Otherwise, the Penguins are going to capitalize on the on that offense. And so I think kind of just based on that little statistic alone, the Caps need to be better in their secondary, third scoring, because the Penguins are too strong offensively. And the Caps know that. Playoffs is you get caught up in pressure and you get Kuznetsov holding on to his stick too tight, and now he's making that extra pass because he's frustrated. And so when you take those out, I mean, I think right now it's faring a little bit more towards the Penguins. And I think that, obviously, I think that the Caps know that that's one area that they need to work on, and they do. And I think that right now a weakness that the Caps is their second, third, fourth line needs to produce in order to compare to and to play up to the level of the Penguins.
Do you think this series means anything extra to Brooks Orpik?
I mean, I think, of course, it does. I think you always have, I mean, he won a cup, right, with Pittsburgh. And
yeah.
So I think it means a little bit. But again, I think you can't get too caught up in that. And I think that's something that Trotz has done extremely well with this team, is to never look too far, never look too back. And I think that that's kind of always to stay in the moment. I know we hear that a lot. Coaches always throw that around, stay in the moment, stay in the moment. But I really think that Trotz has done a good job this year in keeping that. And, yeah, Brooks Orpik is going to think, well, I want a cup with the Penguins. I want to prove them wrong. I want to prove this. But I think once you start doing that, then you kind of lose your mental side of the game. And so I think just staying focused one game at a time, one shift at a time. And I think Trotz is really good at keeping his players thinking that and that mentality.
Yeah, the only compromise I may give is Brooks Orpik maybe is the only one on the Capitals who maybe is coming with a historical perspective. He might prefer to eliminate the Penguins to get to a conference final more than, say, eliminate the New York Rangers because of his history. But as a whole,
right.
As a whole, I'm sure the Capitals, at least Alexander Ovechkin, I'm sure really doesn't care. He might get a little bit of satisfaction out of beating Crosby since Crosby beat him before, but I'm sure he doesn't care. But yeah, that's an interesting point, Nick brought up. I mean, Brooks Orpik could have that mentality, but as you said, that could even be a negative. He's focusing too much on that. That isn't necessarily probably what the Caps would want him to focus on in this series. Do you notice, though, a difference with this Capital team? Because you keep going to the mentality and the coach speak under Barry Trotz, with people saying they're playing more of the quote-unquote playoff hockey style the last 2 years under him, and some surprise they didn't go to the conference final last season. Do you notice a difference even just from a mentality and an atmosphere around the Capitals in playoff series under Barry Trotz than when they were under Bruce Boudreau? Because they had 100-plus point seasons, that Alexander Ovechkin scored goals under him, but they didn't have any of that translate to postseason success, and they're hoping to have more postseason success now under Barry Trotz, which seems to be what is a possibility.
I just think it comes down to, I mean, the culture that he has instilled this year, and I think last year it was a little bit of a change. I think, you know, you see Ovechkin now playing a little bit more of a two-way hockey, the two-way hockey style, and I think that you've seen a lot of change in the organization and just the character and the culture of these guys. You know, even little things last year, they did, like, they had the honest aid player in the game, and they had the stuff in the locker room where they peeled off the number each time they won a game in the playoffs. And you know, someone made a comment to that to Trotz, and was just like, well, how come you're not doing that, or where did that go? And he was just like, look, like, this is something that stays in the room. This is something that stays with our group, and whatever we're doing is between our group. And so I think that they just kind of have this laser focus now of, you know what, we're not going to let these things outside of our room kind of affect us. And not necessarily that it affects us, but now you have the media wanting to know, oh, who's the Honest Abe? And now you have all this hype of the funny pictures of the guys wearing, you know, the hat and the beard. And that's just a small example of something that that Trotz, I think, has just instilled this culture of, look, like, this group has this mission, and we're not stopping till we get it, and nothing's going to affect us inside or outside our locker room, and we just kind of need to focus inside the locker room. And I just thought that was interesting, an interesting comment that I heard him say about, well, this is something that we're changing. Like, we're not going to – media's not going to know about that. They might even – I don't even know if they have an Honest Abe, because that's something that they've kept quiet. But maybe he thought that as a little bit of a distraction. And so I think he's really honed in on inside the locker room, focused on the Stanley Cup.
Now, speaking, I mean, you work around the social media aspect of the Caps for, you know, CSN North Atlantic. What has been the general response from fans in terms
of the CSN Mid-Atlantic? Am I not wrong,
Gordon? CSN Mid-Atlantic, yeah, I'm sorry.
Mid-Atlantic.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know directions. I just know where to go.
We don't have a compass here on the air, and I was going to let Nick go the first couple times and not try to.
Thank you.
You know,
yeah, North Atlantic would put you, you know, a little bit further towards Boston, and really that's just bad
correct
news for everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. Not
sorry. Good. CSN Mid-Atlantic. I was just up there in Virginia Beach watching you guys, so I should know that, but for some reason I just dropped the ball.
You should.
Just shame on me.
It's written right here on the studio.
It's right in front of my face, too. Yeah, there's really no excuse for this. Anyway, you handle the social media aspect of it. You see what people are tweeting.
Yep.
What's the general thought from fans on this series?
They're excited. I mean, anytime. Like, I mean, you can go back to the Ovechkin and the Crosby thing I said. That's an exciting, you know, for anybody to have matchup for the two teams. I think that they were a little worried after game five of the Flyer series. I think a lot of people started saying, oh, it's the same old Caps, but I had called it the very first day, and I said, you know what, Caps are going to win in six. So I said, fans, you don't have to worry about it, because I was right, so it was all good. Because I called
but short
it
of that,
but, but you know what, I think they're excited and they're anxious, and you know, I just think that they're pumped for this series, and I think that hopefully they're thinking the same way as the Caps, and that they're reassured that the Caps kind of have one focus in mind, and that's just to get by game and round by round. And if it happens to be the Penguins, that's great. It's a great matchup. Everybody loves seeing Ovechkin and Crosby, but they're pumped. They're really pumped.
I think fans, media, whether you're a Penguin fan, whether you're a Washington Capitals fan, whether you're just a fan of hockey, really, even if you're just a sports fan, as we saw a guy who wasn't aware hockey even existed the other day go on muck on Twitter about seeing some playoff hockey and what that generated in him. And now that man has more Twitter followers than Courtney, Nick, and myself combined based on just discovering hockey 4 days ago.
That was insane.
And he's a
famous
Blues fan, though. So now he's a famous Blues fan,
real.
Even though they finally –
Yeah.
Know,
yeah, he's one of
he might have
real
to deal with some hiccups himself. That might be a team. I don't know if he wants to start off his fandom rooting for the Blues in the playoffs. That could be some issues. But
I thought that
anyway,
was a joke.
Yeah.
No, apparently.
I was like, this is actually his first game.
Go ahead.
I thought that was a joke that was like his first game.
No, I mean, you know, how many people really outside of hockey's fan base are just intentionally tuning in. It's kind of like the problem with the sport, not to get into that. So, but I thought just the reaction was, you can't script that. That's just fantastic. It was beyond hilarious. And oh my God, like he's at 40 something thousand followers now because of it.
You know what's
going
to happen though, guys? You know what's going to happen? And this is going to be a negative for the sport, actually, not to be somebody who's raining on this parade, but he's entering his fandom in the postseason. And I always say to casual fans and even people that hate on hockey that watch a postseason game, you're going to be entertained. It's going to be exciting, whether there's a lot of goals, whether there's not, just from the saves. Postseason hockey is exciting for anybody. But the regular season, probably isn't for the casual fan, which is why so many fans don't even care about the regular season. They appear in the playoffs, they go away for 6-7 months until the spring comes again. And this fan probably is going to stick with the Blues now. They may disappoint him since they're arguably a cursed franchise. Then he'll go into the offseason, go back into the regular season. Maybe he'll stick around then, and he'll realize the regular season hockey is not anything close to as exciting as postseason hockey, and probably leave.
That's an interesting theory.
But I
might
be
correct, right, though.
So I will let you, I will brush my shoulders off when he is no longer tweeting hockey.
Did you see that he's going to a game, though?
Yeah, the Blues gave him gear. The Blues gave him tickets.
Oh, he's going to a Blues game?
Yeah, they gave him tickets to Game 3, and Reebok is giving him a bunch of Blues gear.
Isn't that insane?
It's insane, but he also getting that he saw maybe the most exciting game of the season in general, the Blues off Game 7. It's only going to go down for him, probably, in terms of excitement.
But he's tweeting about the Lightning game right now, and just his tweets are ridiculous. Like, hey, somebody tweeted him, fun fact, most players don't wear socks under the skates. His reply is, skates got to smell like dog paws and old barbecue bottles 6 minutes in.
Oh my God.
What?
I'm all about him. I'm all welcoming new fans. NHL needs the ratings. Come on, come all. And I think the best tweet, I don't have it in front of me, so I'm just going to paraphrase, but he has something to the effect of, I don't know why in the last 2 minutes, the entire team just doesn't stand in front of the net when you're leaving.
It just doesn't line up in front of the net, yeah.
Why don't they just stand there? Which, when you're thinking about, well, if the rules wouldn't stop you from doing that, that actually wouldn't be that bad of an idea.
So are you guys following him?
No, I
can't bring
myself to be a follower. I'm giving him a follow just to see. I want to see this ride through for a bit. He just seems funny in general, man. Another reply, I got bad ankle skin and I can't wear skates. I can't. I mean, I don't know. Something about him is just like...
He doesn't
like,
need my follow. This man does not need my follow right now. 45,000 plus. He does not need me. He's fine.
45,000.
Link him up.
46,800 followers. And he was at 3,000 when that tweet went out.
He's got more than my dad.
And your dad had a long NHL career with several teams. This man discovered the sport last week.
Wow.
Just to put that in perspective for everybody. Courtney, back though on the path of trying to preview this series here, and we won't keep you too much longer, even though we had, well, about an hour and a half of fake content, I guess, but maybe it will go out somewhere. But do you believe, or at least I guess since you're dealing with the social media and you have so much with the fans, do you believe the fans believe that these are the two best teams in the Eastern Conference and this is the de facto Eastern Conference final and the winner of this is going to go to a cup final, the star power, the top seeds? Do you believe these are the two best teams that unfortunately, I guess you could say, are meeting in a second round?
I mean, I kind of believe that. I'm not sure the fans' perspective on that. I haven't really seen much, but I think the fans are just focusing on one game, and they're going to be holding their breath until the first 10 minutes is done tomorrow.
Understandable for Capital
fans,
but yeah.
I think I was just talking to somebody today, actually, about that. I was like, it's unfortunate. I personally think this should be the Stanley Cup final, or the conference final, because you do have two of the best teams playing each other. But, I mean, I do think it's going to be a great series. I'm going to go out on the wire, and I'm going to say it's going to be a 7-game series. And it's just going to be the team, like I said, that makes the fewest mistakes. But I think that can be really exciting. I think it's going to be a great series. And I think it's going to be a hard-fought series. I think it's going to be a lot of back and forth. But I do think it's unfortunate that they're playing each other, but it'll be interesting to see then who matches up in the conference final.
And the team that wins this series is then going to have almost more pressure on them in a conference final because they're going to be facing a team that they're going to be heavily favored against. You have the Lightning without Stamkos. The Islanders are still relatively young with their first postseason series since 93. You have teams that, you know, you didn't really necessarily expect to get to this point for many reasons. The Penguins and Capitals were both expected to be here. And especially if it's from a Capital perspective, if the Capitals would win the series, can you imagine this, Courtney? The Capitals beat Crosby, beat the mighty Pittsburgh Penguins in a seven-game series, and then go ahead and lose to the Lightning without Stamkos or the Islanders, who only have one postseason series win in our lifetime. I mean, that just seems – that would almost be like worst-case scenario doomsday for Capitals fans, because then they would still not get to the Cup final despite getting Crosby.
Well, and that's exactly it. I think no matter what, at this point, if they lose, it's going to be the same way. If they go all the way to the Stanley Cup final and lose, it's going to be the same thing. And I think that goes back to Stanley Cup or bust. I mean, they've got to be in it all the way, and I think that they are. But I think at any point that they don't make it on to the next round is going to be, I mean, heartbreaking, devastating for everybody, because they do have this winner-take-all, going-all-the-way mentality. And so
No, I was just going to say, we had Jim Loke from Fox 5 up there in D.C. on, about a month ago, Mike? And he said that. That's the general mentality. It's cup or bust, and there's really no in-between, because they've seen President's Trophies team squandered and know what happens next year. And so it's not even to the point of, all right, there's something to grow on with a roster that, when you look at it, has quite a bit of youth to grow with. They want satisfaction, and they want it now. There's no settling.
Exactly, and so that's why, I mean, if they get past Pittsburgh this round and they got the next round again, I think it's going to be, doesn't matter if they lose the next round, that they've got to win. And again, could you imagine them even getting to the Stanley Cup final and then losing? That'd be even a bigger heartbreak. So I think that, you know what, they just got to, they're all in. They got to go all in.
Especially with the teams besides Pittsburgh that they could lose to, because the Hawks are gone, the Blackhawks are no longer around with their dynasty, the LA Kings have been eliminated. The Pittsburgh Penguins have the most recent Stanley Cup out of any team that's still alive in the playoffs, and most likely in a conference final or even a cup final, you're going to be facing almost a mirror image of yourself. If you're facing the Blues, if you're facing San Jose, you're facing the Washington Capitals of the Western Conference the last 10-plus years with all 100-point seasons but failures in the postseason. And even if you're facing a New York Islander team, that would be similar. Now, the Lightning have been to a cup final last year and have won a cup in 2004, so it's a little bit different with them. But not having Stamkos is an X factor why many people thought they wouldn't win even maybe the first-round series. So there's many reasons why, if you get by Pittsburgh and lose, the fans could be negative and say, well, hey, the best team around that you could have faced, you beat. So if you beat Pittsburgh, why can't you beat the Islanders? Why can't you beat a Stamkos missing Lightning team? Why can't you beat all these other teams since they're not Pittsburgh and you were able to beat them? So there is that glass half empty way to look at it for Capital fans. And I have some Capital fan friends of mine that are looking at it negative like that. They've seen so many playoff failures. And the way I asked it to Jim Loke, who does TV in Washington and is from Pittsburgh and knows the Penguins, a Penguins fan, but now covers the Capitals, is even though, from a realistic standpoint, it would be Ovechkin's first career conference final. It would be the first time in his career he got to a conference final, so that would be a big deal for him. And this team is so young, it'd be many of their first conference finals. You figure they're going to be together a while. This could be the first conference final together, and then next year maybe a cup final. Even if you lose that, then maybe be a cup champion years from then. Kind of build up to that we've seen many great teams over the years do, and there's a way to be positive about that even if you lose in a conference final, because it is the first four-year superstar. But he said that even though that's realistic, the fans just are not thinking that way, and because this team is so good, that even though it'd be a first time for Ovechkin, that it almost is cup or bust because of what they have put together this individual season.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, unfortunately, I think the fans want the cup. And so, obviously, they want that here in D.C. And so, I think they're going to be a little hard on the Caps that way. I don't know. I think that hopefully the fans will be a little easier on the Caps that way. But, I mean, I don't know. I think you're right, though, about whoever wins. I personally think about whoever wins this round is going to go on to the conference final and then to the Stanley Cup. I just think no other competition should be able to beat either of these two teams and the final round, but maybe Tampa, but that would be my only other option, yes, there. But other than that, I think, bottom line is, I think it's going to be a great series. I think it's going to be a hard-fought battle series. I think you're going to see them lay an L all out on the line for this one.
Just a quick curiosity. What weakness do you think the Pens can exploit on the Capitals, and what weakness do you think the Capitals can exploit on the Pens?
Oh, well, I think...
Not trying to make it easy on you. We need answers, Courtney. Answers.
God, what is this, like a quiz?
Yeah, give us the Capital secrets. What weaknesses do the Capitals have that the Penguins can exploit?
You got
to say
in alphabetical order backwards. That's.
I think I mentioned it earlier. One of the Caps' weaknesses is inability right now to score, have secondary third line scoring. And so I think can get, if the Pens can exploit that and capitalize on that scoring, keep even strength goals, you know, on the Caps. Didn't have that many in the first round. So I think that's one of the Caps' weaknesses, that I think that the Pittsburgh, their offensive threat to Washington is something to look out for. And for Pittsburgh, you know, I'm going to have to say they're goaltender. I mean, yeah, Matt Murray's played great. Young, 21 years old. I don't know how he's going to face up against somebody like Braden Holtby, who's by arguably one of the best goaltenders in the NHL right now. So I think that could be one weakness for the Penguins. But then on the flip side of that, you got Caps, who need to be able to produce more 5-on-5. And I think that the Caps also need to make sure that they play disciplined. And I thought they did an okay job with that in the first round, but I think they can do better, because I don't think that you want to get running around on the PK as a Cap. I think the Penguins have too good of a power play right now. That could be a weakness for the Caps, and it could be a weakness for the Penguins as well, with Ovechkin on the power play there. But I think 5-on-5 is going to be crucial, and goaltending. I think it's always going to come down to goaltending. And I don't know if Matt Murray has the poise back there yet to close out the series. I'm not sure.
It is, you're facing Braden Holtby, who he said it was a goaltender who he looked up to, too. So it's kind of like you're facing an idol of sorts, even though Holtby's not that old. But maybe Matt Murray has the confidence, even though it's a declining older Henrik Lundqvist, but you beat a future Hall of Famer who got pulled twice in a series while you stood your ground and got a couple wins. Maybe that built him a confidence level that he might not have had if he didn't do that against the likes of a Henrik Lundqvist. Then you face Holtby, but he's also going to be facing Alexander Ovechkin. More importantly, mm-hmm. He did not face a star even close to that on the Rangers.
But he has the good thing about that is he does have stars like Crosby and Malkin mm-hmm. and Hagelin all shooting on him right now. So it's not like he hasn't been able to
exactly.
face those shots. But I think the Penguins are going to come in, as you said, with a ton of confidence. And I think Matt Murray is. I think he shouldn't not. He should be coming in with a ton of confidence. But I don't know. I'm not sure if he has the experience back there for a Stanley Cup playoff run. I mean, really, I hope he doesn't have that much either, but he has more. And his numbers in the playoffs are excellent. And so I think it's going to be a goaltender match, and I think it's going to be, as we always talk about, it's going to be special teams. We always say how much special teams play a big part in the playoffs, and I wouldn't want to go up against Pittsburgh's number one power play right now. So staying out of the box, and you know, Pittsburgh plays such a fast-paced game that the Caps are going to have to be very careful in their own zone when breaking out the puck, making sure they move it up ice quickly, not to cause any odd man rushes. I think that's when the Caps can get into trouble, and I think the Penguins are obviously going to push that, and it's going to be interesting because both teams are going to want to play their style of play. And so how do you fight that? We're going to have to see how each team adapts to wanting. Penguins are going to want to play their fast-paced style. Caps are going to want to play a little bit methodical, more thought-out style game. And that's why I said it's going to come down to mistakes on which team can capitalize on the other team's mistakes.
Nick, do you have anything else for Courtney, or can I give her the easiest question we've asked all night?
I think I'm good. Go ahead.
Okay, Courtney. Yeah, you got to be sitting down for this. This is going to be a difficult question, as I will ask very
soon.
This is going to be a softball for you. This will be a softball for you with all the other questions that we asked and made you think.
Okay.
Give me a pick. You said in seven, or what's the pick for the series?
I'm saying seven. Seven games.
You got Cavs.
But who?
Come on, is that a serious question? I'm going to
I need to hear it out of your mouth. We need to have you
on the air.
Come
on, I'm going Caps in seven. So all you Penguins fans out there on your podcast, I'm saying Caps in seven.
We just wanted it in writing first to be safe, you know?
we now have an official since we actually have you on the air. Your first podcast ever, you pick Caps in seven in Ovechkin Crosby Part 2 in the playoffs. So if it occurs, we'll let you brush your shoulders off, come back on the airwaves and brag. If it doesn't, we'll make fun of you on Twitter or maybe back on the show again to close out the series. And you also can be happy, Courtney, to know that even though I work as part of Pittsburgh media and been a fan of some of the Pittsburgh teams, I do, as Nick can tell you, like to poke at the Pittsburgh fan base and kind of like to maybe agitate them. But kind of I get off on doing that. So if you look on PensInitiative.com, I am the only person who submitted a bracket challenge on PensInitiative.com that not only picked the Caps to win this series, but then the Caps to go on and win the Cup. So I was able to poke the fan base in that respect, and he'll turn on that.
I think that's a follow. Just for that, I'm going to follow you. I might have already, but if I haven't, just for that, I'm going to follow you on Twitter.
Okay, thank you. All right. I don't even care about the guy who just discovered hockey. I got Courtney Laughlin. That's all I need.
That's right. But you don't need anything else, you know?
No.
You're done. Your Twitter life's complete now.
Yeah. Lock the account.
I mean, you can't compare with John Daly, though. John Daly follows me. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's high praise. That's high praise.
I know.
All right. Well, we're bragging about people who follow each other. Man.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Courtney
has
at least one
NHL
followers.
Well, Nick mentioned he was in a movie, for crying out loud. I didn't mention I was in a movie. I mean.
I've been in more than one. So, you know, that's, you know, no big deal, but I did.
Yeah, Julia Stiles wasn't even the top star. I mean, she's nothing compared to Nick Gates.
Hey, by the third weekend I did that movie, Martin Sheen was going up to me like, Nick, what's going on? How you doing? You know, I'm just saying.
This is important, Nick. Did he shake your hand or did he fist pound you?
He shook my hand.
Okay. If he fist pounds you, guys be personal friends. The shaking of the hand is still professional, kind of like, I don't know who you are, but I'm going to be nice. Fifth pound is Nick, you're my boy.
This was like 1999 or so, before the fist pound was officially a thing. So,
all right.
You know.
I can't believe this is real.
What does that mean?
I can't believe that's real. I want to go, watch that movie now.
I'll send you a screen cap. I'm pretty sure I have one somewhere. I've got a screen cap from all the other TV shows and movies I've done, so.
Yeah,
is
Nick,
your
if there's
name,
no screen
like,
cap,
in the
it's
credits?
Not real.
My name is not in credit, but
well, then it didn't happen.
I've got pictures to prove it. Oh my goodness!
It's not real. It's not real. If there's no screen tap. If there's not a screenshot, it's not real.
The screenshots are there. They're real.
Okay.
And if you're not on IMDb, it's not real.
I'm working on that.
Can you do that? Is it like Wikipedia where you can submit your own name and have them put it on there? Can you do that?
I don't know. Nick just muted himself, so I guess he doesn't want to answer your question. But I do not know. I've not been in the movie yet. I've done radio. I've done TV. I've not been in the movie yet. I will let you know if I ever get into a film. I have an agent.
Yeah, let
me
know.
I don't know. Maybe Courtney Watson, though. Maybe you could get in the movie before both of us. Maybe you and your dad could be in a Slapshot part.
But it's true. I did hear, though. Someone's been plugging for us to do a reality TV series.
Someone called you to do a reality TV series? Is that what you're saying?
Someone suggesting that we should do a reality TV show.
Oh, okay. I would
watch
that show, probably.
And then you
would have a guest appearance by Mike Osby as we would discuss your first appearance on a podcast. I would fly down there, and that's what we would do. I have some friends in D.C. I don't even need to fly down. I can drive down.
Drive.
Yeah. I may or may not have had a VIP drinking session at the Capitol building. That was not supposed to be talked about prior to fireworks a couple of years ago on the 4th of July.
You drank? Are you even of legal drinking age?
I am certainly of legal drinking age. Thank you.
Yes.
I wish I was not. I wish I was that young. I am just teetering from being 30. I still have a 2 in front of my number for age, but I'm teetering right there. I have one more birthday.
Yes. All right. You and I both. And I'm around there somewhere, give or take.
Yeah. Nick's older than us, though. I made fun of him on the broadcast. He didn't get on the air.
Shut up, jerk.
Nick's already had his 30-30 party.
That was two years ago. That was 2 years ago.
Oh, my gosh. You're ancient.
Shut up. That's it.
Shut up.
No more TV or movie show fun stories for you. You're done.
Sorry, Nick.
That's all right. Whatever.
All right. Courtney, as fun as this is, I'm sure you have a life to get back to after not being able to be on a podcast and end up being on the podcast. And I don't know if your first podcast experience or breaking your podcast virginity here, I don't know if that went well for you or not since you know, first you didn't succeed, try again. But
no, it was awesome.
We put something together.
It was awesome. I had a blast. I had a great time talking to you.
All right, so then can we have you down to agree on the airwaves, win or lose, you will come back on Radio PI and recap the series?
Sure.
Okay.
100%.
Okay.
Either way, well, if they lose, you might have to give me a week because I might be in some sort of depression, but.
That might be entertaining. That might be interesting.
She grows the depression beard, just lays around with a bottle of Jack and just like, don't talk to me.
She already has the routine, though, Nick. She already knows how to do this as a Washington Capitol fan. The routine, she has a whole list of what to do after losing a posting series.
Here we go.
She knows. Yeah.
Here we go. All right. Absolutely, guys. I'd love to come back on.
Okay. Well, and we'll try to have you come back on without any of the kinks. I think we got it figured out, so we'll be able to do a more professional broadcast for you. Maybe it wouldn't be as entertaining, though. So we'll bring it to
no,
you just as asinine as we do now. So thanks for coming
character.
On the show, Courtney.
Absolutely, guys. Go Caps.
No. Thanks, Courtney. I appreciate it.
Do I just hang up now?
I will hang you up to make sure that we don't
have
okay.
We'll hang up on you. Don't worry. We'll hang up on you.
We'll hang up on you. Don't call us.
We'll call you. Yeah,
the date is over. Don't call us. We will call you.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Had a blast.
Yep. All right. Courtney Lachlan from CSN Mid-Atlantic. Nick, are you still with me? I did not hang up on you too, did I?
I am still here, yeah.
All right. My God, we got through that one. We put something together, even with the technical kinks and being shafted by the production gods once again. I do still feel like we should somehow keep the audio of the fake show that she didn't really succeed in calling in just for the entertainment aspect, even just for ourselves. I may throw it on my external hard drive or something. So I could probably put it together.
Good.
I'm sure you two can do so as well. Put together a blooper reel.
Oh, yeah.
Of yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, you know me. You've met me in person. You know me through Twitter. We've talked for hours on here. I am a blooper reel in and of myself, just unintentionally. So,
I can't say I'm not. So I will also give myself that tag. But then, as many people probably feel that even what I think is not a blooper reel, probably to them it's a blooper reel. So whatever. Anything else on the series? We're done with Courtney. But anything else on the series here?
I'm looking forward to it. I think she was spot on that Matt Murray is the X factor here. Where he goes, as far as he goes, as far as the wins go. The Capitals are a more shallow team. They're not scoring as much. It all comes down to what Matt Murray does, because once you get beyond Matt, the top line and what the defense can shut down, the Caps could have some issues. So as long as Matt Murray can hold in there, I think the Penguins can get this. I think it'll be a six-game series, but it's going to be quite a few overtime. So it'll be one of those that's going to like 7.
Where are you? Because I talked with others on the post-game shows of the first-round series against the Rangers, not with you, though. But where are you, and I got different answers, on hypothetically Fleury being healthy. Would Fleury be your starter? What would the leash of Matt Murray be?
I think it's going to be like you did with Vokoun a couple years ago, and that's not – only the circumstances obviously here are different in that you keep playing Murray until he obviously falters, and then you bring back Free. No, and that was because Fleury was playing so poorly. But in this case, why do you go away from the hot hand. You ride with hot hand, especially when there really is not a drop-off between two. Like, I wrote the article. Fleury is gone in 2 years at the most because of Matt Murray. This is just a quick audition that we didn't expect. So you ride Murray until Fleury until Murray's starting to fatigue, and then you pop Fleury back in. And maybe he has a game of rust, but you know what? After that, there's no way the guy isn't top notch, and suddenly you've got a healthy rested goalie that is just as good as the one before. It's a no lose situation, I think.
It really is a no-lose situation, and we always have those situations always seem to crop up with Pittsburgh sports teams to polarize and split the fan base, because you know that if Murray ends up losing game one, you stick with Murray, he loses game two, then you get any reports that Fleury was 100% healthy or now is 100% healthy, and then there's going to be people saying, well, you should have went to Fleury immediately because now you gave up these games in a seven-game series, and that's going to be the reason why you lose. Or if they would have went with Fleury to start the series and Fleury would lose, then there's going to be people saying, well, he was rusty, you shouldn't have went with him. If it's not broke, don't fix it. Why didn't you stick with Murray? And even if you switch it around any point in this series, you're going to have that same polarizing split divide between the fan base. It's almost a win. It's almost a no-win scenario for the Penguins when it comes to their goaltending, because if they don't win the cup, basically, you're going to have certain fans that are going to say you should have went with the other guy. That's where they are now. Unfortunately.
Yeah, but I feel like if this were more the Bama era, it'd be more the case. Now I feel like the team just kind of has a lot more leeway with fans, a lot of belief with fans, a lot more, I don't know.
There's confidence.
The team
now.
A lot
There's
more
leeway
now. There's
2009 type confidence right now.
Yeah, so they've got more leeway. They've got more wiggle room. They're not going to be jumped on right away like they were in the past. And I feel like it's a different game in that sense, that they've got a little more of – you've earned a little more of the ability to have a mistake or two compared to the past where it was one mistake and suddenly Belzman's got to be fired and Sherrill's got to be fired.
Right. Yeah, I don't think everyone's going to get fired. I mean, the only people that were calling for Sullivan's head were the guys of the – oh, you should have started Zachoff in the meaningless Flyers game because of the Murray injury. I think it would be different maybe with those fans if you had Murray injured and Murray couldn't start any of the playoff games. He was out for the playoffs because of that meaningless Flyers game, because I was even one of the people that said Zachoff should have started. The game was meaningless. But now that debate basically is over and null and void because you have Murray. He's emerged. He's now healthy. So it doesn't matter. You got through the first-round series with Zachoff winning a game. You now have Murray as a starter. He's emerged the scene. He's the starter. Fleury is there as a veteran, too. It's not as – that conversation's over. But if Murray was never healthy and you had Zachoff getting you through a first-round series, even though it was the Rangers, there might not be the confidence level there is now against Washington if it was Zachoff.
Absolutely. I have full confidence in Murray. He's played nothing to make me think otherwise. I'm excited for what he can do. I love a little sneak preview of what we're getting up here with Matt Murray in net right now as to what will come down the line for the Penguins.
Yeah, I know you wrote articles about this even in the past, but it definitely does add to the value of Murray and maybe considering trading Fleury and moving on from Fleury even before his contract's up, because you have a guy like Matt Murray who you maybe could feel like is a legit starter if you go to a cup final with him having started most of the games through that postseason series. So that could create an off-season question marks for Fleury's future career as a Pittsburgh Penguin, depending on the success this team has with Matt Murray. And granted, if they would lose, then you'd have the reverse of, oh, Fleury's going to come in back and come back here and save the day. But it's a lot of off-season questions and a lot of ways to polarize and divide the fan base. But either way, all that right now is not a concern. Pens, Caps, the Ovechkin, Crosby, part two of the playoffs. It's entertaining. It's fun hockey. There's new hockey fans that didn't exist 3 days ago that are now have 45,000 Twitter followers and watching the game. So it's going to be fun if nothing else. We'll have more post-game shows for you after all the games. Give or take an overtime or two on those Saturday night games, though, because I can't guarantee I'm going to be up at 2 a.m. doing you a post-game show.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, well, at 8 p.m. start time there, Nick, I'm a little bit concerned.
I feel
you. And then Courtney also will have your coverage on CSN Mid-Atlantic, and you can hear us on any other outlet. We do our own personal thing. But, Nick, I'll let you close the show here, but you want to hear Party Hard again, or do you want to hear Biggie? What should we finish out with?
Let's close it out with Party Hard. We want to hear that a lot.
Yeah, it makes sense. We got to hear some Party Hard. We got to have Party Hard. We got to have the gold horn going in the Cap series.
Absolutely. Well, Mike, as always, it's been a pleasure. Once we get the
absolutely,
I say
with Asinine, of course.
You predicted asininity, and we got it. That's a word. Once again, I say
I've coined
Penguins.
The term, I think.
You did. Once again, I say Penguins is a long, hard fight fix that feels like sin. You say what? Capital in 6 or 7.
I got caps in 7. I can't go off my initial prediction. I have caps in 7. I do think this year is finally the year the Caps do this. I think the path is there. The Penguins are the toughest team they will face. But I think Crosby getting back to himself a little bit. Malkin's getting healthy, playing well. So is Kessel. They are a loaded team. Murray is giving you enough in net that there's confidence around the Penguins, and they could easily win this series. It wouldn't surprise me at all, but I'm going to go Caps. I think they're deep enough finally. They're going to play a smarter game, not take the bad penalties. Ovechkin's going to play well like he didn't really do in past postseason series during their failures. And I think this Caps team, another year under Barry Trotz, is building that atmosphere of winning in the playoffs they haven't really had before, and they're finally going to do it. So I'm going to keep up the heel mentality for Pittsburgh, and I'm still going to go Caps in 7.
Well, yeah, that sounds good. We'll see who's right. We'll see who's wrong. All right, I'm going to line the week. But thank you, Courtney. I appreciate it always. Thanks for coming. And we got games on Thursday night at 8, Saturday night at 8, and then from there, back to Pittsburgh, and hope to hear plenty of this one show next. In the meantime, the video works. Thank you. Follow her on Twitter at CSN. Follow me on Twitter at Nick. Follow Mike Ossie. Myself at Ossie. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Party hard and let's go.